Our sermon today is, again, continuing on faith, and the Master Outlines names this one three kinds of faith. Now, I read it, and I, you know, looked at it, and I pondered it, and, you know, I'm me, right? And I said, Lord, there's really only one kind of faith, and that's real faith, faith in Jesus Christ. So how can we have three kinds of faith? I think there are three ways in which we express our faith. There are three realities of faith. There may be even more, but there are three that I think that you'll agree with me happen in our lives daily from time to time to time, depending on where we are or what's going on, all right? So I'm kind of renaming this. Instead of three kinds of faith, I'm going to look at it as three typical realities or expressions of faith that all of us go through at one point in time or another, and I dare say that once we've achieved one, it does not mean we have the rest, and you can go from top to bottom anywhere at any particular time, and as we go through these, you'll see what I'm talking about. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John. We're going to be in the 11th chapter, and Jesus is speaking here. Actually, he's coming into, if you remember the story, he's coming into the place where Lazarus has died. And he knew that Lazarus wasn't well, and he delayed in going. But there was a purpose in his delay. And that's one of the things that we need to realize when it comes to faith, all right? In our faith, God will move. God does move. When we have active faith, if you remember what I told you, faith is active, it's not static, okay? When we move in faith, that doesn't mean God's going to move right away, because remember, He has a plan, He has a purpose, right? And He is planning and purposing in our lives. That's why we're told to work out our faith with joy and aspiration. No, fear and trembling. For it is God who works in us according to His will, according to His good purposes. Now, that fear and trembling doesn't mean, oh, I'm afraid. Fear and trembling means in awe and respect of who He is, in love, and yes, in joy, in hope, in peace. But as we come there, we too need to see and understand that God has something in mind. So from verse 17 through 21 in the 11th chapter of John, let's see how we truly express faith and the realities therein. Beginning in the 17th verse of chapter 11, we read these words. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Now please remember, Martha and Mary, do you remember the story of Martha and Mary? Okay, Martha and Mary. Who was the one that was always busy and just had herself in an uproar because sister wasn't helping her? Martha. Martha was the one who was busy at things rather than simply being with Christ and receiving the blessing of His presence and His teachings and learning the things of God, right? So here's Martha, and she goes out to meet Him because that's a Martha thing, right? That's a Martha thing. Where's Mary? She's back there doing something, who knows what. She isn't running out to meet him, right? That ain't the end of that story. But here's Martha, and she goes up to the Lord Jesus, and she says to him, now remember, she knew who he was, right? She says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. In that reality, an expression of faith was brought forward. In that reality, we too walk at times, because that is what is known as limited faith. Okay? Limited faith. She wasn't looking to what could be or what might be. She was simply looking at what was, and it ended there. How many of us find ourselves doing that every day? Every day of our lives, simply because it's what's in front of me. That's the reality. That's what it is. That's what it's always going to be. It's never going to change. What? Have you met God? He is the God of possible things, right? He is the God of impossibility. He is the God who called creation out of nothing. How many of you remember the story of the scientist who was trying to disprove God? And God said to the scientist, well, if that's the case, then let me see you create the earth. Let me see you create life. Let me see you create something. So the scientist goes and he gathers his beakers and his fluids and his chemicals and puts it all down the table, and the Lord says, whoa, wait a minute. Get your own stuff. Because all those things are already created. He's the God of impossibility. Out of nothing, He created everything. But who did Martha go to meet? She went to meet not the God that we know, but the God of limited faith. The God of limited faith who says, this is simply what is, so therefore there cannot be anything more. And that's wrong, because that type of faith is guided and controlled by circumstances, and it's motivated by fear and doubt. We need to understand that there's something more. Turn in your Bibles. Keep a bookmark there. Flip the page, whatever you need to do. But then turn in your Bible, because we're coming back. Then turn in your Bibles to Matthew in the 13th chapter. Matthew 13. We're going to look at verse 53 through 58. Matthew 13, verses 53 through 58. From verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. And he did not do many miracles there because of their what? Lack of faith. He met limited faith in his own hometown, the place where he grew up. He had been doing miraculous signs all around the area, but because they had limited faith, because they had a little bit of a reality, not the full reality, their faith was limited by the circumstances to which they found themselves in. It amazes me how many of us allow circumstance to govern our lives. Do you know it's a scientific fact? Psychologists have said, if you talk down to a child all their lives, you're stupid, you're dumb, you're never going to amount to anything. Guess what that child becomes? They begin to believe it, and then they begin to become that very reality. Jesus knew who he was, and he didn't need anybody telling him, because the Father in him was telling him who he was. And he's been telling us who he is by the power of his Holy Spirit through his word. So that we know he's outside of this world. He created this world. And therefore, all things in this world come under him. We have to unleash our faith to understand who he is and to be free from the limited nature of our physical being. Martha here brought a very humanistic, very real reality that every one of us carries, because guess what? You're all human, and so am I. And we all fall short at times. Can you see where there are times in your life where you exhibit limited faith because, well, you know, God's just not going to do anything about that. Really? Did you ask Him? Did you talk to Him? And did you believe that He could or would, might or will? Or did you just simply call it off, just like Martha did? If only you had been here. Wait a minute. Who's here now? But here, Christ met one of the first realities of faith that we need to wrestle with, and that's limited faith. Turn back with me again to the book of John. Because the next portion that we read gives us another portion of faith, gives us another reality or expression of faith from verses 22 through 35. From verse 22 through 35. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, now this is the amazing thing, because she said, "I know God will give you whatever you ask." But again, remember, she was meeting Him in limited faith. So rather than saying, "Oh yes, Lord Jesus, great, make it happen now," what'd she say? "I know He will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Again, he's met with a limited faith. But Jesus doesn't give up. This is the Jesus that we know. This is the Jesus that we serve. This is the Jesus who is the master of our lives. He said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she said. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Did she say, "Yes, I believe you are the resurrection and the life? Yes, I believe that you can raise them up"? No. She said something else. She said, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." Period. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said. Oh, don't you love that? Don't you love that? "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at a place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, get this, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." He met the same limited faith, didn't he? Here he is again, and this is the one who was at his feet, learning from him. This is the one who was doing the good thing. How many of us think we're doing the good thing? Yet, when circumstances come into our lives, are we going far enough? Or are we just taking it to the edge because, I don't know if I want to step over there. Something miraculous might happen. I might meet God. I think that's why I'm in this business. I want to meet God. I want to do everything He wants me to do. But again, we come as frail human beings, don't we? Sometimes confused. We talked about that today in our Bible study, that there are many times that we are confused because we don't think with a spiritual mind. We think with a physical body and a physical brain. We need to get outside of this and remember that we are otherworldly. That's why Christ is always coming. In every moment, there's an advent of Christ if you open your heart to Him. Let's read on because we're not done. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, He was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid Him?" He asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied, and Jesus wept. Now this is a very important piece of Scripture for two reasons. The first is that we find here that the type of faith that is coming out is what I call fundamentalism or legalism. All right? What was Martha's response to Christ when He said, "I, the life, the resurrection, I'm here"? Right? She said, and I quote, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. What is that? Let me tell you what that is. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, dead and buried, descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and life everlasting. Amen. It's a creed. It is a creed. It is a letter. It is a word. And so many times we as human beings put all that we are into a word. But do we take it to the spirit of what it is spoken? Remember, Jesus said, you look at the word, but you ignore the spirit of the word. Who is the spirit of the word? God himself. And when we come to the Lord in fundamental faith, what we find is a creedalism. What we find is a believing in a word and not in the spirit of the word, in the power of the word, in the authority of the word, who is Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he created all things through what? The Word. And you and I need to remember that the Word has power. They are not just words. There's power in those words, and that power is God himself. So when we come with a fundamental faith, when we come with a legalism, we're coming at it that, oh, here, this is what the book says. There's no grace in it. There's no power in it. There's no authority in it. All that's in it is fear and control. But God meets us with unconditional love. Now, do you see why it was so important for me to point that out in the Bible study this morning? Because God does not come at us with fear and trembling to make us fall down before Him with remorse and regret. God comes at us with love and approach that says, I am here. If you believe in me and receive me, I will give you the desires of your heart. I love you. I brought you into this relationship for a love relationship, not to knock you down, not to beat you up, not to put limitations on you, but to set you free. For he who has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, he who has set us free is free indeed. Amen? That means free from the physical confines of this world as well. Now, there are some folks out there listening to this right now thinking, okay, where's this guy going? He's half nuts by now. Because we all are limited by this world. We will die. Amen? We will die. For some of us, we're going to see the rapture. I cannot wait to hear that horn blast. How many of you are looking up every morning? Brother David's got his hand in the air. I think it's amazing. And if you think it's going to be a brass trumpet, think again, buddies. Because it's going to be the shofar of God. It's going to be a horn blast. And when you hear it, just watch the sky roll back. Okay, that's not fundamental faith. That's not limited faith. That's the last portion that we're going to look at. And that's where we need to live. That's where the advent of Christ has to get us. Because the love of God outpoured brings us to a place of faith. I'm glad you guys aren't standing up here too close. I'm making showers up here. The place that this brings us is a place of faith that is so real and so tender and so loving. But here these sisters are, and Jesus wept. Why did he weep? There are so many people who say, oh, well, he loved Lazarus so much. Now, wait a minute. Do you think God's going to cry over a dead person? If they're in him, they aren't dead. Didn't we just read that? He's not crying because he loved him. He's crying, he's weeping because he's not found faith on earth. When he comes again, is he going to find faith on earth? In fact, he says that. When I come again, will I find faith on earth? Where is our faith going to be? Is it going to be a limited faith? Is it going to be a fundamental faith? Oh, yeah, well, the Word says that, you know, that he's coming again. But, you know, that really means that when we die, we go to him because in that he's coming to us. No, he's coming back again. The same way he went up in the clouds, he's coming back down on those clouds. And when he comes, he is not going to be alone, because all of the heavenly hosts are coming with him. You think the shepherds had an insight of what heaven looked like? Think about what it's going to look like when all of heaven comes pouring down on this earth. Talk about an advent. Talk about a Christmas. I'll guarantee you, you ain't seen such lights. And are you prepared for that? Are you wishing for that? Are you hastening the day? In fact, we're told to hasten the day. We need to get away from this limited faith, from this fundamental faith, and we need to walk into the reality of Jesus Christ. I'm getting myself all balled up in my notes here. In Mark chapter 10, turn there with me for just a second. This is the last scripture I'm going to have you look at outside of our scripture. Please keep a thumb there because we're coming back. But please look at Mark, because, again, I really want to show you. The Word speaks this stuff to us. It confirms itself. This is not something that I got to talk you into. This is something God's already spoken to us and gives us that reality. Mark chapter 10 from verse 17. We're going to read from verse 17. And I'm going to read to 27, okay? As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, there's that good teacher again. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. Huh, gee, I think he was kind of commenting on that good teacher thing, don't you? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. What's that? That's creedalism. That was the Ten Commandments, the words written in stone. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Boy, it's easy to keep a creed, isn't it? Because you don't have to do anything with it. All you have to do is say, yep, there it is, I believe that. That's as far as it goes. And Jesus said, one thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. In other words, how many times have I told you this? The gift of salvation is free, but it will cost you everything you have. And when you give it up, God gives you everything he has. Now, let me tell you, how many of you want to keep what's behind door number one? What's that guy's name? Monty Python. Monty Hall. Monty Hall. I'm sorry. Everybody on the internet's laughing right now, too. Monty Hall. Let's make a deal. You can keep what's in your pocket, or you can take what's in eternity. Which of those do you think you're going to swap out for? And believe me, there's no zonk in this one. Boy, for you young people, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Check it out. Go on the internet. You'll find it. Jesus goes on. He said, at this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Now, you know, this is another one of those things, like I told you the other week. You know, last week I said you can pray that this mountain be moved over to here, and it'll be done if you have faith of a mustard seed. Or you can pray this mountain be moved into the sea. And I showed you how that really happened. Okay? Folks who read this, they say, oh, well, there's a gate in Jerusalem called the Needle's Eye. And for a camel to enter through it, they had to get down on their knees and kind of crawl through it. No, that's not what Jesus is talking about. Okay? There is no such gate in Jerusalem. What he's talking about is a camel, a dromedary, okay? That big thing weighs about 1,200, 1,400 pounds and is almost as high as a man to the top of its hump, okay? Can you fit one of them through the eye of a needle? No. In other words, that's how impossible this stuff is for us. But if God wanted to, He could thread that camel just like he's threading a needle. Huh. Brothers and sisters, nothing is impossible for God. And that's what Jesus is here to present us with. But when we walk in legalism, when we walk in this, we look at the reality that all we're doing is believing in a word. We're not believing in the spirit or the power or the principle behind it. And it is the spirit, the power, and the principle behind it that gives all authority, all love, all grace, all honor, all glory. And that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So finally, we go back to the book of John, and we find our last type of faith. We find our last expression of faith, beginning in verse 36 and reading to 44. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Oh my. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. Mitch, read what yours says there. Verse 38. Jesus again, groaning in himself. All right? Do you see what's happening here? All right? The Spirit of God is groaning. You know, we're told in Scripture that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. I think Jesus was grieved here, wasn't he? He was groaning in his spirit. We miss some of these wonderful things that are in our Scriptures with the NIV and some of the other English translations. That's why it's so important to read other translations as well. They bring out nuances that we need to understand. God is grieved when we have these limited faiths. God is grieved when we have a fundamental faith that does not look into the ultimate, which we're getting to here. Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believe..." Oh, excuse me, back up here. I went down too far. Is that where we are? Yep, okay. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. Now get this, all right? The Lord himself just spoke. What happens next? Martha says, "Wait a minute, God, don't do that." Or she didn't say God. She said, "Wait a minute, Lord, don't do that. He stinketh. He's been in there for 4 days." And Jesus says to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Please keep that in your hearts. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So Martha relents and says, "Okay, Lord, take away the stone." So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, this is so wonderful, please understand this. These words are here just for you and I. They aren't here for Jesus in any manner. These are here for you and I. "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with the strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." You and I need to take off the grave clothes and be let go. This body does not hold us. Limited faith has little place in our lives, to none. Fundamental faith has little place in our lives, to none, other than the reality that we know the Word of God is the Word of God and that we hold it in high authority, but that then we believe the Word of God and apply it to our lives. Because in doing such, you will release unlimited faith. Jesus said to them, Did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? If you yield to the Christ, He unleashes unlimited faith in our lives. And it is amazing what God does. Because I want you to look at something. I taught you all what it means when the Hebrew Scriptures says to hear me. Do you hear me? Because it means that you have received it, and now you're going to act on it, believing it and going forward, right? Okay, I want you to look at this word. This is Jesus' prayer again. What does he say here? Father, I thank you that you have... Okay, now what's that word? Is he talking about sheep? You heard me. In other words, before Jesus ever prayed, God had already acted. Lazarus was already getting up. Because God had already moved, because the Son of God was in the process of speaking the words, and unlimited faith had already been unleashed. The same faith that created heaven and earth in the beginning heard. That's past tense. It's already done. In God, through unlimited faith, it's already done. We just have to receive it. That's the crucible. Unlimited faith stops it because we won't yield to God. Fundamental faith stops it because we won't grasp the power and the authority that's there. But unlimited faith touches the heart of God, and He's already moving. We don't have to do anything. Isn't that the amazing part? How many of you would like to get up in the morning and find your Christmas meal already cooked and on the table? I know a bunch of ladies who are saying, man, that would be kind of nice. I wouldn't have to mess around with nothing. The husbands are saying, I don't care. I'll make it anyhow. Think about that. Here we are in this reality, and God is telling us that if we yield to Christ, He will unleash. Because what did Jesus tell the blind man? Oh, well, you're welcome. I healed you. What did he tell the lame man? Didn't he say to them, what did he tell the woman with the bleeding issue? Oh, there's one. Your faith, what? Has healed you. That's unlimited faith. It was already done. Jesus didn't speak into that one, did he? In fact, he stopped to find out who got it. Isn't that cool? How many times have you ever stopped God to come back and look and see what He just did? Wouldn't you like to do that? I mean, how many times in life do you ever do that? You're driving down the road and you get that, what do they call that? You know, you look and all of a sudden you're looking back again. I don't know what they call that. Double take. There you go. Wouldn't it be neat to have God do a double take? Because you believed so much that His power was released before He even knew it happened. Now, I don't think that's a possibility because He's God, but I like the thought of that. Wouldn't it be neat to have God take a double take in your life? Holy cow, did you see that? I didn't expect that. I didn't see that coming. I didn't think He was ever going to believe like that. Wow. Wouldn't you like to surprise God? I think we should try. Because when we walk in unlimited faith, we walk in glory every day. We walk in the coming of Christ every moment. Because not only has He come, but He is here. Look at Martha and Mary. Jesus was there. Were they there with Him? In a physical sense, yes. But in a spiritual reality, no. So that's my question to you today. Do you just want to be here? Or do you want to be here with God in His moment, in His power, in His authority, in His peace, love, joy, hope? That's where we find Him. That's what faith brings us. So today, let us step away from limited faith Remember, legalism has a place because we need to know the word. But let us walk in the power therein and know the face of God. Would you pray with me this day? Gracious God, our Father, we thank you so much for the mercy that you have shown upon us. And we thank you that we have the ability to move from limited faith. And yes, Lord, it often does, into legalism, and then out of legalism into unlimited faith. May we hold high the realities that we've just seen, moving our lives every moment of every day to the advent of your coming, just as you did for Martha and Mary. Lord, you didn't forsake them, but you kept taking them to the next level until they finally reached unlimited faith. May we reach it ever quicker that we don't even have to bother with the first two. Father, bless us as we go from this place, that we may take that unlimited faith out into the world and bring your love unto others. Guide us now, O Lord, and keep us, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen.